The solemnity of the Immaculate Conception is not the celebration of the Immaculate Reception, nor is it about the conception of Jesus. Common mistakes, if you will, or confusion sometimes that we have. Rather, it is the conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But we don't exactly have a biblical text to speak about that, because there isn't one. And so we turn to the story of the Annunciation, in which this mystery, this belief, is unveiled through the message of the angel, who greets Mary as one who is, by name, full of grace. Note, he says, "Hail, full of grace." Not "Hail Mary, full of grace," as we say in the prayer. "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Hail, you who are filled with grace." Well, the only way we receive grace is through Jesus Christ. So how does this all work out? We begin in the book of Genesis, recalling that moment when God calls Adam and Eve to account for their misdeed, for why they fell to the trickery of the serpent. And I love Adam and Eve because, you know, God puts Adam to sleep. He creates Eve from her rib, and Adam goes, "Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh." You are like, "Whoa, the best thing I've ever seen." And then Eve gives him the apple, and next thing is like, it's her fault. Right? And Eve goes, "And it's the serpent's fault." Like, the blame game begins right away, immediately with the fall, and sin enters into the world. "It's her fault, Lord. This beautiful woman that you gave me, who I can't conceive of anything more beautiful than other than you, God. Yeah, she caused me to fall." And so the first man fails to protect his wife. In doing so, sin enters the world, and the need of a redeemer becomes apparent. But in order for this to be reversed, you can't just have a new Adam. You have to have a new Eve. And Mary is the new Eve. She is the one who, instead of saying no to God and yes to Satan, says yes to God and his divine plan. She is the one who is conceived without sin by the merits of the cross of her Son. Because you see, God, of course, as we know, but we don't often think about, is outside of time and space, and so he can take the merits of the cross and apply them to any point in time that he wants. And so he chose Mary, conceived her without sin, allowed her to be conceived without sin, so that she could bear God within her. And yet, in doing so, she had the same choice as Eve. The same choice that you and I have, really. To choose for God or against him. This belief in the Immaculate Conception is a dogma of our faith. And so, basically, if you don't believe it, you're not following the Catholic faith. But let me distinguish belief versus understanding. We can believe in something even if we don't understand it. I believe in gravity even though I don't understand it, right? I know it's there. We say it's there. We don't even see gravity. But I believe in it. Now, I can study all the scientific text on gravity and it still doesn't help me much, right? Because why do I have to fall? It's the same thing with Mary. We believe that she was immaculately conceived because what we say about Mary is a result of what we say about Jesus. And if we say that Jesus is God, and I hope there's no question in your heart about that, then that means that Mary has to be able to conceive God. And God and sin do not coexist. And so she has been made that pure vessel to be able to bear God. So what does this mean for all of us? First of all, we have an example for all of us to follow in our mother. We have a person who knows the depths of sorrow and pain more so than you and I can because of her purity, her love, and her connection to God the Father through her Son. We have a person who we know is in heaven and is able to pray for us. As one so highly exalted that she's above all the angels and saints, and is able to pray for us in that unique way of being mother to the Son, mother to the King. We have one who can help us to live a life in union with God while on this earth and in conformity to his will of love. She can help us to love Christ better and to follow him better. We have one who is able to be closer to us than we can to each other because of her closeness to God. She is mother for us and can help us to be better sons and daughters of the Father. She is the one who said yes, who, as I said, overturned what Eve had done. She can help us to say yes when it's difficult and we don't understand. For when the angel came, she didn't understand quite how she could possibly conceive the Son of God, since she wasn't having relations with Joseph. But she trusted that God is truly all-powerful and can do anything he darn pleases. So do we trust that God can do anything he darn pleases. She is the one who humbled herself to accept God's plan. And she is the one who can help us to grow in humility, to recognize that God is God and we are not. And she is the one who always points us to God. And she can help us to do the same. And she points us now to this Eucharist, in which we receive her Son's body and blood, in which we receive the fullness of the Godhead into our bodies, just as she received the Son of God into hers. So let's allow him to come in and to transform us so that we too can enter into the joys of heaven.